Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this afternoon, the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, is holding a press briefing on its investigation of the crash of TWA Flight 800 that killed 230 passengers and crew members. It happened 17 years ago, just as the cicadas were last out, just as the flight had taken off from JFK and was in the air off the southern coast of Long Island. Remember this? And some of you, of course, were personally affected. This briefing is in response to my next guest's new documentary that calls into question the finding of that investigation. Theories that the plane were brought down by terrorists or errant U.S. military testing were all over, but at the time, the ultimate finding was that it was probably an internal malfunction. Christina Borgeson is a former CBS and CNN producer, now a freelance investigative journalist. Her film, titled TWA Flight 800, premieres on July 17th on the Epix cable channel. Welcome to WNYC, Christina Borgeson.
Thank you, Brian.
And your hope in making this documentary was to reopen the investigation. Are you encouraged that the NTSB is paying attention at least?
I'm very encouraged by that. And I really hope that, we can dream here, right? But I'm really hoping at some point that there will be some kind of a sit-down with the investigators in our film and some of the people that we really wanted to be part of the film, for example, like the NTSB metallurgist Wildy, Mr. Wildy, who is actually going to be part of the briefing today. So, you know, at some point it would just be really nice to have a very honest discussion. Tom Stalkup, our science advisor, has spent 15 years. He's a physicist, a PhD in physics, 15 years looking at this. He has amassed probably the largest personal archive in the world through FOIAs, Freedom of Information Act requests, and lawsuits, and the lawsuits continue. And then, of course, the investigators who were part of the original investigation. I mean, it's a trove of great information, review, and analysis that didn't occur during the original investigation, and we'd love to share that with them.
I wonder if anybody's listening right now who was one of the eyewitnesses who thought you saw the streak of light that could have been a missile or one of the other things that ultimately got discounted in one way or another as illusion. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Call us up if you are one of those folks. Now, I want to read from the NTSB accident report, which took 4 years to put together. It doesn't actually claim to answer all the questions, and a little bit of uncertainty is striking to me in this, but I'll quote from the executive summary, quote, "The National Transportation Safety Board determines that the probable cause of the TWA Flight 800 accident was an explosion of the center wing fuel tank resulting from ignition of the flammable fuel-air mixture in the tank." That doesn't say what caused the explosion. "The source of ignition energy for the explosion could not be determined with certainty, but of the sources evaluated by the investigation, the most likely was a short circuit outside of the CWT, the tank, that allowed excessive voltage to enter it through electrical wiring associated with a fuel quantity indication system." In other words, that kind of technical malfunction. But you think the evidence points clearly toward a missile strike, don't you?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important to be very, very, very clear that the NTSB finished or didn't finish, but they stopped this particular investigation. It's not closed, but they stopped this particular investigation before they actually found the evidence of the initiating spark that they're talking about. So they really provided no hard evidence for the initiating event. So to close down the investigation before even doing that, I think, is problematic.
And your film features six people who served on the NTSB at the time of the investigation, but now say they think there was a cover-up of evidence. Here's a clip of former investigator Hank Hughes.
The primary conclusion was the explosive forces came from outside the airplane, not the center fuel tank.
Would that statement have been in your analysis?
If I got the right one.
So one of the skeptical questions to ask about your documentary is, why did it take these people 17 years to come forward?
First of all, let me just go back and tell you that these are six investigators who were part of the official investigation, but they were not all from the NTSB.
Okay.
What happens is, when you have an aviation accident investigation like this, you invite certain parties, interested parties who have a stake in what happened. That's why Bob Young, for example, was the chief investigator for TWA on the TWA 800 crash. Hank Hughes was from the NTSB. Okay, Jim Spear was the investigator for the Airline Pilots Association. So we need to clarify that these guys were not all from the NTSB. They were from different interested parties, but they came in at the discretion of the NTSB. So now, what was your question after
well,
that?
Well, if this is true, why did it take them so long to come forward? Why were we having this conversation in 2013 instead of 1998?
I'll tell you why. And Hank Hughes' experience was emblematic of that. What happened was, Hank Hughes, who was in charge of reconstructing the interior of the aircraft, was noticing all kinds of things going on, including altering evidence, tainting evidence. He actually had to train most of the FBI's evidence collection group, okay? And he complained to his bosses. He jumped up and down on a number of occasions, was ignored, and finally, in May 1999, had to go before a Senate Judiciary Committee. And under whistleblower protection, okay, which means that, you know, his bosses didn't want to hear about it. So he testified. And then after that happened, of course, he feels that he was retaliated against, because at that point, after he left the TWA investigation, he was put on bus accidents, even though the NTSB gave him their highest award, the Outstanding Performance Award, for his work on TWA. So people did.
But
Jim
what,
Spear was almost kicked off twice for complaining.
But what motivation would they have for covering up a terrorist attack, if it was a terrorist attack, or an errant U.S. missile test?
You know what, Brian? Our job here is not to speculate. It really is not. It's for these guys to, you know, tell people what they experienced, tell people what they found after handling the evidence, and to put that evidence together, the forensic evidence, along with the eyewitness accounts, which dovetail very nicely with the forensic evidence, and present it to the public.
Let me play a clip from the film of some eyewitnesses in a montage that you put together. One of the mysteries that the NTSB investigators found is the fact that of the 700 or so eyewitnesses, 258 reported seeing a streak of light before the explosion, and 38 said the streak of light ascended vertically, suggesting a missile strike, either by terrorists or by the U.S. military that did training in that area. You heard from some of those 38 eyewitnesses in your film. Here's a 36-second montage.
I saw what appeared to be cheap fireworks.
I noticed a streak of light heading up towards the sky.
I saw this white light shoot up in the sky.
There's something going up in the sky.
This rocket went up in the air.
And I seen this white light. I said, oh, someone shot off a flare.
And it looked like a flare going up. And then the very next day, the FBI came to talk to me. It was almost abusive, in a sense. They took me into the back room. They said, well, we heard that you saw something. Tell us what you saw. I told them what I saw, and they looked me straight in the face and said, you did not see that. You saw nothing.
Witnesses as a montage in the new film by Christina Borgeson, which premieres July 17th on the Epix cable channel, TWA Flight 800. Of course, that's just 38 out of 700 eyewitnesses who reported that. And did you read John Goglia's response to your film in Forbes? He was one of the NTSB board members who approved the accident report, and he takes issue with the film, not surprisingly, saying at one point, the eyewitness accounts are less reliable than the radar data, period. So how did your experts explain the lack of radar evidence for missiles?
Well, what do you mean the lack of radar evidence? There's radar evidence that shows debris coming out perpendicular from the plane at Mach 4. That's four times Mach 4 or better, four times the speed of sound. We did, you know, a ballistics analysis was done of that radar data, and that's what we discovered. And that's one of the new discoveries that we are, you know, submitting to them. And the other thing I want to say, Brian,
he meant that there was no radar showing missiles being fired or ascending.
No,
I believe, right?
Oh,
and we have a minute left, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's not speculate about who, what did it, or what it was, because we don't even. We call these things objects. But I'll tell you you can't see a missile. Radar can't pick up a missile. It has smooth surface, whatever. But when a missile explodes, it's like confetti in the air. It's called chafing. The radar can pick that up.
All right.
Okay. So, you know, what we're saying is, you know, the eyewitnesses saw what they saw. And, you know, we have reviewed all the eyewitness accounts. We have analyzed them. There's more information that I can give you. But, you know, obviously if I only have 1 minute, you know, I want to use that minute to say, and especially to the reporters as well, come and see, come and talk to us, come and ask us for the information that we have. Because everything that we say, we can back up.
TWA,
and that's important because we're being attacked, you know, a lot.
TWA Flight 800 premieres Monday, July 17th at 8 p.m. on Epics. Christina Borgeson, former CBS and CNN producer, made that film. The trailer, by the way, is on our website, plus a link to a PDF of the 2000 NTSB report. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.